Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. Today we have
it's a big day, Jess.
Two of Manchester's finest. We've got Noel Gallagher and Lenny Ware.
It's going to be such an exciting.
You day. Just came in. You look like you're about to like take someone down in court. Like I don't know whether
I don't
you think
know.
You're
I'll
doing Noel's new divorce or something. I
Maybe.
Don't know.
But, I kind of quite like the frills at the end of the
Well, you
sleeve.
Look fabulous, but you came in and you said, oof. Bit rock and roll then. What happened last night?
Went out to my friends Alex and Monique and they had wine glasses that were like goldfish bowls.
Oh.
Yeah, and I
How
thought
many of them
I didn't know
have?
To dive in or drink it. But I drank it.
So I'm on food duties today.
Yeah.
What's been made?
Not
darling? Only am I packing to go away for a month,
Can I help?
What can you help with?
I can help pack
can look
fold
after
things.
My children and feed them whilst I'm
yeah,
gone.
I will definitely come every day next week.
So yeah, I'm in a bit of not a pickle, but it's like, you know, lots going on. We love it that way, but I am in charge. I always seem to do breakfast, don't I?
Yeah, you do. You said you wanted to do
yes,
this
I do.
One.
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
Can I
And
just...
I like the idea of Noel Gallagher being in New Cross
yeah.
In my house and potentially asking the next door neighbours to stop sanding.
Stop fucking sanding.
So, yeah, maybe they'll listen to him, not me. We've got Noel on and I'm cooking.
Do you know, he comes from just down the road from me.
I wonder
Does if he? Ever went to Cheetham. Yeah, he comes from just down the road in Salford.
Does he?
Yeah. I'm going to tell him I'm from Salford too.
He's got a new album out and it's really good.
It's brilliant, darling.
It's
I listened
really
to it.
Good.
I felt really pleased to get
I,
that.
It's called Council Skies and it's all about exploring his Mancunian roots. Big themes of youthful yearning, unbridled ambition. And in Noel's words, it's going back to the beginning, daydreaming, looking up at the sky and wondering about what life could be. That's as true to me now as it was in the early 90s. The artwork, shot by Kevin Cummins, was photographed on the original centre spot of what was the old Main Road football stadium, which I'm sure you went to, didn't
I
you?
I did.
Home of his beloved
Do you think
City.
I dare tell him that I used to support City
I don't
when
know
I was
if
seven?
Should. I think he'll just hate you.
Yeah, he might do. I think I'll keep quiet.
He's doing a massive homecoming gig in Withenshaw Park in August.
Withenshaw.
He is probably
he's
the greatest.
He's a fantastic lyricist.
Oh, my. He's unbelievable songwriter.
Yeah.
And I may have called in the help of the biggest Oasis fan that I know.
Well, you've
Felix
got
White, Jack Pignatti and Felix White are the biggest. So I may have called Felix and said, listen, is there anything that you need to ask Noel? And Felix has come up with two very good questions, which I will not but take credit for. I just have to say,
no,
I'm not taking
wait,
credit for
Just wait, save it. Darling.
I will be. Can't wait to, this could go brilliantly or badly because you're United and you used to support City.
I will
City,
not, I
so
will not,
is,
I'm not going to say anything about football.
I'll believe that when I see it.
I do want
okay.
to know if he's ever met Haaland. Haaland is the most astonishing footballer I've ever come across, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, he's met Haaland in his underpants.
Oh, wow, yeah. There you go.
And on that note, Noel Gallagher on... Noel Gallagher, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for
You've
having
come
me.
And we've got you a goat's milk Yorkshire tea,
Thank
gold.
You. Don't judge me.
I am okay. a bit. Goat's
you know,
milk.
I've kept my accent, but I've jettisoned my drinking, my milk habits.
And you drink Yorkshire tea?
Yorkshire, yeah. Can't drink anything else. But I bring thousands of those things on tour with me.
Do you?
Bring bags full of it, yeah.
Why do you like goat's milk, darling?
It just happened to be in the fridge once, and
my ex-wife was drinking it, and I kind of thought, oh, that's all right.
When my kids said, why do you drink goat's milk? And I said, because I'm the greatest of all time.
Oh, that's very good.
And I said, only the best can drink it. And they were like, what, is that actually? And I was like, yeah, actually, it's only me and Lionel Messi drink it. David Bowie drank it. And John Lennon, I believe.
Oh, so you
joking.
Are. No, you're not. Oh, you're teasing. I'm listening gullibly, thinking, I can rely on this Manchester person to tell the truth.
Your accent's coming back
all of
a sudden.
He knows Cheetham Hill, Jess.
Of course he fucking does.
She does that thing where she says, I'm from Manchester, and then says she's from Salford, which is actually not in Manchester.
It's next to Cheetham. So where my bit is off Leicester. Do you know Leicester Road?
I know.
Right, so I'm at the top of Leicester. Well, that's where my mum used to live.
All right. So what brought you down this neck of the woods?
Love. It wasn't love at all. I went to university in Birmingham.
All right.
And then everyone wanted to come to London.
I guess, yeah.
It was, and I did social work, and I got a job here.
All right.
And that's, so I went to Manchester High.
Me too.
Which one did you go
to? I mean, I was high.
Very good. So I
went to Manchester High all the time, actually.
I've still got friends in Manchester, and I love Manchester.
Yeah. I love going back to see my mum.
Where's your mum living?
She still lives in the same council house that we...
Does she?
Yeah. She lives in a place called Burnage, which is right in the south side.
Oh, it's Burnage.
No, it was.
Was it? Did you go to Burnage School?
No. I went to a school called St. Mark's in Didsbury. I was originally born in Longsight.
Yeah.
Just where Longsight Market is. And then they knocked our houses down to build this new fangled thing called a super, it's called a hypermarket, and it was the new Asda's. And we got moved to this posh part of town, which was called Burnage.
Burnage.
And I can assure you it's not posh anymore. And I went to a place called St. Mark's in Didsbury.
Are you Catholic?
Yeah, for my sins.
Is that why you went to St. Mark's rather than Burnage?
Well, I went to St. Mark's because my parents suggested I might want to go there.
Okay.
You know, I didn't go because I'm a firm believer in Jesus Christ.
Was it strict?
Catholic schools in the 70s. Well,
good education.
They weren't as brutal as probably the 50s, but it was an all boys school, and there was like hundreds in each class, so. I bunked off school for 3 months and nobody noticed. And my school was that big that my mum was actually one of the head dinner ladies and she didn't even notice. And I used to go in just to have dinner.
What were you doing when you were bunking off?
Clue sniffing. Doing magic mushrooms.
How old were you?
I would have been 13, 14. And then when she finally got the letter, I said to her, we haven't seen Noel for 3 months. And she went, well, I've seen him every day. She said, well, he can't, we've not seen him for 3 months. And I would just go in for dinner. And then I still think she never really forgave me for that until I appeared on Top of the Pops. And then she was like, okay, fair enough.
But were you off playing a guitar at 30?
No,
I was doing naughty
getting
things.
Drunk, just listening, actually listening to a lot of music. So, yeah.
What was great on Glue to listen to? Anything.
We're getting, these are the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah.
Did they warn you about what music is great on
Lasagna's
Glue?
Lasagna's coming up.
Well, I've got a Glue... Funnily enough, I've got a Glue playlist that I've made up before... I came here. Glue is not or wasn't conducive to listening to music. But what was great on Glue was that you would hallucinate rather vividly.
Did you ever write a song about it?
About glue sniffing?
No,
but some of the punks did. No.
Back to food and the dinner and actual food goes.
Was the food good at St. Mark's?
Standard school food. I'm not sure. School food these days.
You went in every day, or was that just to make sure your mum didn't?
Yeah. No, right. I wasn't going in because the food was great.
Okay, fine.
I was going in because I was trying to keep the subterfuge going. But, standard school food, like everything with chips and... You know, it wasn't as healthy as these things are now. You know, my kids go to school and there's vegan options and vegetarian this and gluten-free that. And I sometimes feel a bit sorry for them. They just want steak, kidney pie and chips.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes and, you know, apple crumble. But it's all got a bit posh these days, hasn't it?
There's a big Catholic school opposite Heaton Park, isn't there?
There is.
Have you ever played at Heaton Park?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I actually went to see the Pope there when he came, believe it or not. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like a massive, great, big deal.
Everyone and went.
Everyone
in Manchester. Yeah. But it's like the only celebrity.
But is that where the Stone Roses did their big?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So Heaton Park.
Did Oasis ever play there?
We did. Yeah, they have a festival on that. I think I might be playing there this year.
Yeah.
Is it called Parklife? Is something?
You wouldn't do.
No,
Parklife.
It's quite dancey. I don't.
No, but they have these festivals on there, and I've played it as a solo artist. I know Oasis played a few nights there.
You're doing Withenshaw.
I'm Withenshaw Park.
This August.
Didn't know they had gigs at Withenshaw.
They don't.
Park.
This is the first one. This is the inaugural one. Yeah, they're gonna.
That's amazing.
They're gonna do it now in as an annual thing. And
why don't you play at the City Stadium?
Because I'm not popular enough.
Oh bollocks!
Stop.
All the City supporters would go.
Just get other people with
get Haaland on.
Well,
base.
You would hope that they would, but I'm not willing to take that risk, and neither are my promoters. No, I'm not. My high flying bird thing is not stadium friendly. It was like arenas is my kind of level, and I don't even like doing arenas.
I love that
arenas.
Arenas is my level, sure. Fucking hell, I'm just trying to get out of academies.
Jesse,
do
an arena?
I don't know. Do you like arenas?
No, I don't like them. I prefer theatres. There's more of a vibe with the. I think when you're playing arenas, or this is what I think anyway. I don't know whether I've been tough on myself. Every time I go to see someone in an arena, they've got this. This larger than life thing where they interact with the crowd. I've literally got nothing to say apart from the music. So I'm better if I'm in
theatre.
Well, not on things like this, yeah, but not in between songs. I'm not.
Jesse's
I can't
like,
be bothered asking everybody like, how they're doing.
I'm like, Ricky
how you doing? Are you doing? You've got some guy in the front going, actually, I'm not too well at the minute. I don't. The audience participation thing has yet to reach me. Yeah. I think I'd like to let the music do the talking.
You need a gay crowd like Jesse's.
Well, actually, they've limited how much I can speak because I was speaking too much. It was becoming like a chat show.
So they've
actually limited it.
You've got someone inside of the stage doing this.
No, I just like the songs go into each one. So we make it more like a dance set because otherwise I'd be like, what's your name? Where'd you come from?
Yeah.
So it's a bit
well, that's how Billy. That's how Billy Connolly became a comedian because he was in a band with the guy that wrote Baker Street, you know, that famous song, Baker Street. Jerry Rafferty. And they were a folk duo, and Billy Connolly used to do the in-between song part and used to tell these stories. And at one point, the stories got so long that Jerry Rafferty said, you know, I think you want to do your own thing from now on. It was kind of like, he was doing like one song and 20 minutes of a funny story from Billy Connolly, and that's how he got to be a stand-up comedian.
Maybe we should go on tour together.
Maybe
and,
I should do
you
the
know,
music and you should do, yeah, you should do
you
the chit-chat.
The
yeah, I know.
Well, let's take it back to the beginning. When your mum wasn't doing dinner lady duty, what was she cooking at home and what's a really memorable dish from your childhood?
Well, I come from a very Irish family.
Is your mum Irish?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But does she speak with an Irish accent?
Oh, good Lord, yes.
Oh, so she's proper Irish.
Oh, yeah. She's as Irish as they come, yeah. She is insane. So she's from a family of 11. And she's got seven girls, and five of the seven all moved to Manchester at the same time. They all live in the same council estate within walking distance from each other. And of course, being Irish, they all had about 14 kids each. So it was a big kind of Irish family. So it was all Irish cooking, which is like stews and, you know, I never had a boiled egg until I was 31.
That's a true story. No,
I was sorry. on my 30th birthday. Someone said you should try something you've never tried before on my 30th birthday. And I was like, so I've never had a boiled egg, and I had boiled egg and soldiers, and I'd now eat eggs.
Do you love them?
They're going out. Yeah, I love them. Yeah, like they're going out. Particularly that point a few years ago when they said, you know what, they don't actually give you cholesterol, and you're like, right. Crack on
more,
with the fucking
eggs
then. I eat eggs every day. Two eggs and two slices.
You already had eggs then?
I have, yeah.
But for God's sake. Well, okay, you can have another one.
Jesse, you probably didn't fancy what you were cooking and he thought he'd better eat first. I told you.
I gave you three options. Maybe
did you not get me?
So it didn't come to me, I'm afraid, no.
Well, don't worry. You've got the lightest option, which is lucky. Or you can have a slice of cake.
Well, what are the options?
Well, no, now there isn't one option.
There's only one option.
I went ahead and decided.
Yeah, that was quite light. Why did you give three options and then made the decision?
Because it's Noel Gallagher, and I was like,
Okay.
I felt like he'd have an opinion on these kind of things.
She'd wait till you'd chosen it.
Right. Only she didn't. Only the goats.
I don't want to start a family feud here. You know, I'm only.
No, this is just normal. This is normal.
I want to know which part of Ireland is your mum from.
She's from a place called County Mayo, which is on the west. On the west. Yeah, yeah. It's the Wild West.
Did you like her cooking?
Growing up, you have nothing to judge it against because it's just when people cook for you. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a big. Even to this day, I'm in my mid-50s now, and I'm not. I like nice food and all that, but I'm not really. I'm not a foodie. Do you know what I mean? I won't go. Oh my God, that was an amazing piece of salmon. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, food is still a function for me. You're hungry, you eat. You know, you crack on with what you're doing. But I do like going to nice restaurants. But I didn't. You can't. What, your mum's cooking. You can't judge it against anything else. Do you know what I mean?
So, like, when Oasis were really getting big, and you were probably being spoiled with the riches of, you know, the best restaurants, was that something that you got a bit excited about, or were you like, no?
Because we got big quite quickly. It kind of blew up quite quick. I mean, we were still the same kind of five guys that had been in the rehearsal room the year before, so we were still hanging out in pubs, and we weren't, we weren't the healthiest or the most sophisticated bunch. You know, I didn't have sushi until I moved to London. I was like, what, raw fish on rice? Know, what's that all about?
Odd,
what the
fucking
that looks like the inside of a bicycle tire. It's like, no, it's octopus. I've never been that hugely. Funnily enough, I'm not a foodie at all, but I do like watching MasterChef.
Me too.
I love it.
Are you watching it this week?
I watch it. I've got it on Series Link at home.
Do you like the amateur or do you like the professionals? Do you watch both?
Why I watch it is the same reason that I used to love watching Top Gear. I can't drive. I've never had a driving lesson. It's not something.
Well, I heard you talking on Zoe Ball about your driving lessons, which was just hysterical.
Well, I've only ever had one. And the woman was driving around a housing estate in Slough in a Nissan Micra with a big white triangle on the top with a big letter L. And I was thinking, I can't wait till, like, this is easier past this, get a massive fucking Rolls Royce or something. And she said, can you just pull over here, please? And I pulled over onto the curb, and she just unclicked her seatbelt and said, I'll be back in a minute. And she walked into this house and came back out with her mum.
Why?
Because her mum wanted to meet me.
Oh, my God, that's so unprofessional.
And at that point, the Slough Comprehensive, the bell went for kicking out time, and all these kids were kind of looking at me sat in this car like
with
an idiot.
With an L
and
on
I, and when and then I drove the car back to my house, and I was like, okay, well, I won't be doing that again.
That was an awkward drive home.
But anyway, but it never stopped me loving Top Gear, which I thought was a great TV programme, and I used to love it. And I love like looking at cars, and I think they're amazing. And it's the same with food. I enjoy watching amateurs make it. And it's the kind of thing, you know, when you see these people and they're like, they can
so
fucking
clever,
really cook, you know
it?
What I mean?
I know, I agree.
And I'm thinking, I mean, I can, because I live on my own, I can cook for myself, right? And
What would you cook?
Oh, it's just standard chicken, meat, I just, anything you can put in an arga.
A roast chicken?
I can do that, yeah, easy.
Are argas a pain in the arse, or are they actually quite easy?
For me, they're quite easy.
Okay.
Is your kitchen always hot then?
Yes, it is. I don't mind it warm. I like it warm. Everyone that comes to
what
my house
colour
is like,
what colour's your arga?
Black.
Black.
And it is always on, yeah, and it does make the kitchen quite hot, but I like that. But I wouldn't cook for anybody else for fear that I'd poison them, like food poisoning. So I'm good at cooking for me, but anyone else, I'm like, well, they're going to have
to
get
pasta?
Delivery. I can do pasta.
So you wouldn't, if we were coming round, you just
no,
you guys
we'd
were
be
ordering.
Well, I live in the countryside at the minute, so we'd be going to the King George
pub,
the local pub, yeah, which is not bad.
Is it? What's your order there?
Fish and chips.
Speaking of fish and chips, now because, and you know this anyway, but Felix White, who from the Maccabees, the biggest Noel Gallagher fan in the world.
Yeah.
And I had to call him yesterday, and I went to school with him. And
I
watched him, I don't know if I've told you this before, but I've watched him and Jack Pignatte perform Oasis in the talent show when we were in like year 10. And they dressed up, and he was Liam, Jack was Noel. And he adores you, but you know this. But he has some food-related questions. Okay. Because I was like, listen, we've got the goat coming. And he said, okay, this is the shit that I need to know. Fish and chips, Zabaleta. Did you say something about respecting Zabaleta for having a fish and chips every Friday?
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. Well, so there's this football player. He's from Argentina. He used to play for City, and he lived in Didsbury, I believe, and he used to go to the same chippy every Friday and get fish and chips, and queue up with the natives. And it's like, you know what? Respect that dude for that. Have you ever been to Argentina?
I went recently.
Yeah. It's the most amazing country on the planet.
I know, it's gorgeous.
You say this to people and they go, really? And I'm like, I'm telling you, the people, the food, the people,
empanada,
the vibe, I love it. The best gigs you will ever do, ever, is in Argentina.
I don't know, Sao Paulo was pretty amazing for me. Well, Mexico City.
Yeah, for me, I've been going to, I mean, I went first went to Argentina when I was a roadie for a band in the 80s. I first went in 1988. And it was amazing then. And Oasis used to do the craziest gigs there in football stadiums, like the maddest things you'd ever see in your life.
And they jump.
Yeah, and they go bananas. But it is the most amazing country, I've got to say. And the
food.
Yeah, vegetarians don't get on too well over there, fortunately.
No.
But they cut their steak a bit too much.
No, you just have to order it a bit less done.
Jesse, but when you say that to them, they think you're slightly odd not having well done
steak.
Do you like your steak well done?
If I'm cooking it at home, I'll do it for 4.5 minutes.
Well, that's quite rare. It's medium rare.
Quite rare that I'm cooking at home.
Well done. Do you have curry sauce with your chips?
If I'm up in Manchester and I have a chippy, fish chips and curry.
Because they don't do curry sauce down here with the chips,
do they? No, they don't. No, when you say that, well, all people down here think we just drink pints of gravy.
Have you had to educate your children? Because they're all Londoners, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, have you had to educate them about the Mancunian way?
My kids do a very good condescending Mancunian accent. And we're like, all right, Dad. All right. And when I take them to the football, they love... So when we go to the city's home games up in Manchester, we'll go in a box and all that. But when we go away, they love going on the terraces with the City fans.
And trying to talk Manx.
No, they just love all the characters that, and you know, they're
there's to, nowhere like dickheads. Manchester, is there?
Well, it's difficult for
warmth. When you stand at a bus stop, I defy you not to talk to someone.
All right. Yeah, but, all right, Peter, Cock, but yeah, yeah, but... Wouldn't everybody say that about the city that they were born
in?
No, Jesse. Well, London belongs to England. It doesn't really belong to Londoners, do you know what I mean? I don't think I've ever met anyone from London in London. They're all... Are you actually from London?
Yeah, South London.
My kids are born and bred in London, but I don't... I think Manchester is... I mean, I love it. It's very... There's a lot of funny characters up there, and still to this day, the people
but
which
the
are making...
the club scene was... When I grew up, the Twisted Wheel I used to go to. Which was an amazing place to go to.
Right.
We used to go to Time and Place.
Right.
We used to hang out to see if we could see George Best anywhere.
Were you doing Hacienda?
I used to go to George Best's house on a Sunday, because he lived in that big glass house.
Yeah.
And people used to go, and he was like one of the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
And he lived in this big glass house just outside of Manchester. And people used to go for a Sunday day out in the 70s just to stand at the end of his driveway.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't getting invited in?
No.
Oh. No, you used to stand there.
So this is
what?
Like being in like the hills.
Well, it was like this futuristic It was a futuristic glass box of a house. And you could see him watching TV with Miss World. And people would just go. We used to go to his house and just stand there.
Just to see if you could see.
My parents used to take us there, right? And it would be like families would just be stood looking up the gate to get a glimpse of George Best. And I'm not a United
fan. He was so handsome as well. He was gorgeous. And he had only ever had blonde women.
Yeah.
And his nightclub was called Blondes.
Yeah. Top dude.
Yeah, he was. He was great.
I'm going to cut some bread. Are you really not fancying eating anything? There's a bit of asparagus, a fried egg. You don't have to have the fried egg if you don't want. You could just have the tahini and asparagus.
I'll have that then. Yeah, I'll have asparagus.
I'll be so sad if you don't.
I'm looking at the most beautiful ring on your finger that looks slightly papal.
Well.
Tell me about it.
So this is... So when you leave school in America, You get a ring like that. It's like a college ring, like, whereas we get a kick in the arse and a certificate that no one ever keeps. And I bought that in a pawn shop in Tokyo in the 90s. And I didn't think anything of it until the internet was invented and Googled it. And it's like from... It's given to somebody in Ruston. I think you get to design your own ring when you leave. So this guy, I think his name was Dwayne.
Oh, it's got Dwayne on
it. And I think he played number 20 for the football team.
Oh, my gosh.
And the football team were called the Bearcats, and it's from Ruston High in Mississippi, I believe.
Poor soul. Wonder why he gave it to well, me. Have well, you seen it?
Have you thought about finding him and giving it back?
No, but I'll tell you a funny story. The fact that he was in Tokyo would suggest that he'd probably joined the army. And he was stationed in Tokyo and he kind of pawned it for a prostitute or something. But one afternoon, I was sat in an airport lounge in America somewhere. And I was a bit hungover and a guy dressed in the desert camouflage fatigues. And he said, where'd you get the ring from, buddy? And I was a little bit pissed and I started talking back in an American accent. And I was like, Ruston High. And he went, I went to Ruston High. And I was like,
oh, my
fuck.
God.
And I went, fuck shit. And he was going, when you do, go Bearcats, where'd you go to Ruston? And I was like, oh, yeah, like, are you fucking there? And I started to sweat. And I was like, please call the flight now, you know. And luckily the flight was called. And honestly, I was dripping. I was like, fuck shit, man. And he was like, where'd you go? Here, go Bearcats, man. You don't look old enough. And I was like, you know, fucking Billy Bob shit, man.
Oh,
like,
my God, crikey.
Yeah, it was one of the most stressful events of my entire life. Because he was clearly on his way back from, you know, trashing the Middle East. And he was probably going to be in a bad mood. You know? And I was like, fucking hell. Yeah, terrifying.
Do you go to America often?
I do. I'm going in a few weeks, yeah. Start my tour there, yeah.
You're starting your tour there?
Yeah.
When does your album actually come out?
June the 2nd.
You're
a professional at this, isn't she?
No.
Seamlessly sliding into plugging my record.
We listened to the album.
Do you want some water or juice or...
I'll take some water, yeah, thank you. Do you know what? The older that I've got, the more I've grown to love America. I used to hate it when I was younger. Because there was too many rules. It was like, you know, you can't do this here, and this shuts at this time, and you can't smoke that there and all that. But you kind of get to your mid-30s and you go, fucking what? Oh, it's like the pace of this life and the fucking avocados on toast, you know, 2 in the afternoon.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we ask everyone, if you were going onto a desert, not something sinister, if you're going to a desert island for 6 months, what meal would you have before you went?
Before I went?
Yeah.
What's my favourite meal?
You've got starter, main, pudding, all right. Drink.
Starter? Do like a bit of squid for starters.
Do you?
Yeah, it would be something...
Grilled or...
No, you know when they deep fry it.
Oh, you like calamari?
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
But
love
not
it.
Just like, not Italian calamari, when they kind of do it.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah.
I love that, yeah. Do you like a dip with that? Do you like a garlicky mayonnaise? Or do you just
the chili dip would be the best one. And for a main course, what would I have? I don't know. I'm not really.
What did you have last night for your dinner?
Oh, I had pizza.
Do you like pizza?
Love it.
Okay.
There's a pizza restaurant in Maida Vale called the Red Pepper, which is, I swear to you now, it's the best pizza in, well, obviously I won't say in the world.
Which road is it on?
Formosa Street.
Oh, I know.
Do you really?
I was in Maidervale last night, actually.
Oh, right.
Went to some friends on Clifton Gardens. I love Maidervale.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. I've lived around there
so
for quite a while.
Gorgeous,
yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. There's like a little Greek Turkish restaurant up a little side street I've been to.
A really good Greek restaurant in Maidervale.
Yeah, it's up a little side street.
All right, OK.
On the other side of Warwick Avenue.
Oh, OK. There's a great sushi place up there called Sushi Murasaki, which I'm going to tonight, I believe, with my kids.
You?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many children have you got? I should know.
Three.
Yeah. Are they all big grown-ups?
And I saw one of them, your beautiful, I think she's your eldest daughter, she was taking photos of you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. She's 23. She's amazing. And then I've got an eldest lad is 16 this year. And then my youngest little boy, the legend, is 13 this year.
13.
I know, they're amazing. Oh, they really are. They're the funniest. The two guys are like a comedy double act. Their entire meaning of their life is for one of them to try and get the other one into trouble. That's all they live for. And it's tit for tat. So tonight when I see them, they'll be, ask Dee about what happened at school today. And,
my gosh.
But they are amazing, funny kids.
Do we get the Last Supper? No, we've got calamari.
Yeah, he's only got to calamari.
It may need some salt, and I will not be offended. All right?
Have you got salt, darling?
Yeah, I've got it here.
So what would I have? Probably steak and chips, actually.
I knew you were going to say that.
Did you? Well,
just
I
knew
didn't
it.
Know I was going to say that.
But I knew it. I felt it.
Right. Yeah. Steak and chips, and then for dessert, apple crumble.
Apple crumble.
Who makes the best apple crumble?
Actually, the one at the school dinner's apple crumble.
The puddings were always good, weren't they?
And the
cake and custard.
Yeah. The custard and that. Pretty spectacular, I have to say.
Okay, so, and then what drink of choice? Are you having beer? You having wine? You big into... Do you drink?
I'm big into alcohol, yeah. Well, I'm Irish, so... It's kind of a prerequisite for living. If I'm going out... I will always drink beer. Always. Exclusively.
What sort of beer?
Peroni. Well, whatever they've got. Lager.
Like lager?
If I'm staying in, like this weekend, for instance, is one of my favourite weekends of the year.
Why?
Because it's the Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh, I didn't know that you were a big Eurovision fan.
God, I fucking love just getting pissed and watching the utter insanity of Eurovision. It's insane. I love it. And
why didn't you go?
I wouldn't go to it. I just want to watch it in private and just laugh my bollocks off. It's just
Are you laughing at them or are you kind of enjoying the...
I'm laughing at them.
Oh, you arsehole.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm just like, look, Kazakhstani rap. Really?
No, you should wait for the finish. They've got this cha-cha-cha.
Oh, great, I can't love it.
And he says cha-cha-cha like 78 times.
Brilliant.
And it's it sounds kind of like he's Darth Vader and he's going, and he's rapping with a cha-cha-cha. You're going to love it.
Brilliant. And I love the earnest tunes as well, the We Are The World ones.
Yeah.
I love that kind of thing. But the Eurovision Song Contest, it's far out. I remember watching it...
When you were little?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
I used Remember to sit watch... and score it with my father
really?
And mother.
Really?
We all sit round there. And Miss World.
Right, yeah. Remember when Miss World was a thing? Yeah. It was on telly on Saturday night and Dad would watch it. She'd half seen better than her down the pub. You know. That's like, what pub are you going to? But no, I do like Eurovision Song Contest. I'll stay in and get a bit
pissed. No, but please tell me somebody else is going to be drinking with you. And you're going to, maybe you should get the kids around and start doing a tally thing and chart, do a little...
I don't know, I'm going to be sitting there maudling, drinking. There'll be someone else. There'll be a few people there. Don't worry about that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But no, I love it. I remember watching it the year when, I don't really remember this, but some Finnish guys, it was like a black metal group, and they were dressed as, they all dressed in like, they were like... Dressed in...
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
They're called Lordi. And I was sat watching it, and I was a bit stoned, right? And I was thinking, what the fuck is this? And then they won it, right? Because obviously people were voting to take the piss. And ever since then, I was like, this is essential viewing on a Saturday night.
Now, these are two questions from Felix White.
Mm.
What a life it would be if you could come for mine for tea.
Mm.
Pick you up at 3:30. We'll have lasagna.
Yeah.
Who was cooking lasagna?
So that song came about. We were, at the time we were hanging out with in Liverpool, we were hanging out with this band called The Real People. We had this crazy cousin, and his name was Diggsy. We were just jamming in their rehearsal room one night. He got up on the mic, and we were all playing one chord. And he started to sing this thing, went round and round, and I can't remember the tune, but the lyrics went, "What did you have for your tea tonight? What did you, I had lasagna. I mean, it sounds really, really ridiculous. And then I was just stuck with me, and I had this tune, and it just seemed to fit. And it was one of those songs when you play it to the band, and they go, "Really? Okay. Lasagna?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I could, you know, I'm fucking singing that. Fucking lasagna."
He fucking sung it.
I fucking right. You know, yeah, it was just born out of this crazy guy, Diggsy's bizarre mind. Yeah.
Strawberry lemonade.
Well, yeah, it was a thing from that drink, that was Snapple, wasn't it?
Oh, Snapple.
Wow, you've really, did you really?
I loved the peach iced tea.
It was really
big in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was with this girl at the time, who only drank this strawberry lemonade thing.
Oh.
And that old song Talk Tonight is quite an autobiographical tale of a weekend I spent with this girl in San Francisco, and all she drank was strawberry lemonade.
Did that put you off her, or was it kind of like you were like, "Sure, she tastes sweet"?
Well, I was... No, it didn't put me off her. No. I mean, I got a song out of it, so, you know. That's the main thing. I got a great song out of it, and I'll be playing that song on tour this year, so...
Oh, well, everyone will be happy, because it's like it was a B-side, wasn't it? Or...
Yeah, all my best songs I gave away as B-sides, like a fool. Yeah.
But it's catalogue. You've got so much. You can now do that.
No, of course, but at the time, I had this period from, like, 1993 till 1996, where every song that I wrote became really famous. But if I could go back in time now, I would keep all those great B-sides and turn it into a proper album.
Why can't you do it?
No, we did. We put a B-side album out. What I'm saying is, at the time, it would have made a colossal third album. But of course, when you're young and you're on the way up, you're just like thinking, "Well, this is never going to dry up. This is going to be amazing." And I would write these songs, and nobody at the record label, because we were on an indie record label, and everyone was a bit mad. You know, nobody had the wherewithal to say, "That's a bit good for a B-side." They were just like, "Yeah, fucking, that's brilliant." I mean, yeah, it's a bit over the top to say we gave them away, because they have, you know, I still play them, so they didn't go to waste. But it would have been nice if they were on some kind of official album.
What's your favourite song to perform of all your songs?
It's always new ones. A song I've never, ever, ever, ever gone off is "Don't Look Back in Anger," because it elicits, it's such a hymn now, and it means so much to so many people all around the world. I've never gone off that one. But songs, as Jesse will tell you, you have a moment with them, and then you just got to let them go, and people will come up to you and say, "Oh, why didn't you play this song?" And it's like, it's gone now, you know what I mean? It's like a child that's left home, and that's it. It's grown up and it's got married and it's fucked off, thank God. And but the ones that you enjoy are the new ones, because it's new for you, and then you get a couple of years out of them. So at the moment, I'm enjoying all the new ones. And but "Don't Look Back in Anger," you know, if you've got that one song, if you'd only written that one song for the rest of your life, you'd be doing all right. Do you know what I mean?
It's definitely.
But without it being, it's an extraordinary piece of music without it being technically an extraordinary song. But I think that's the appeal of it, is like guys who are amateur guitar players can sit and play it and sing it.
Is it hard though to have made that? Do you have to kind of put it, like lock it away, knowing that you've got that song that will live on forever?
You got to let it go.
And then you got to let it go. But like when you're writing, and then you're not trying to better.
No,
that.
You have to let it go, and you have to accept that
it was a moment
in time, and thank God you had that moment. Mm. And you have to let it go, and don't.
Where did you write it?
I wrote in Paris.
You were in Paris.
Yeah, and I don't even remember writing it. We were on tour in 1994, 1995, and we'd been out. Well, I often wonder, because I woke up the next... We'd been out on a really boozy night out. And I woke up the next day, and there it was, written down. Not all of it, but like the outline of it. And I'd had the chords, and no idea who Sally is. But we'd been at a strip club that night, and now let me quantify that. We'd done a gig that then turned into a strip club.
It doesn't matter. I don't get shocked.
You're not a stripper, are you?
No, I'm not a stripper, and I don't get shocked.
Right.
She wants to know more. She'll be at the strip club next time.
Yeah.
There's still time.
Okay.
There's still time. Yeah. You know, the internet is full of many magical things.
Where are we going after Withing Shop?
And I don't know who Sally is, and I don't know.
She must have given you a good dance.
I've never met a stripper called Sally. They're always called Emmanuel and shit like that, aren't they?
Yeah, there was
so my friends tell me.
Film series called Emmanuel.
So you've got to let that go and accept that.
But it's constantly being revived. Because do you remember after the Manchester bombing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then
people spontaneously started singing.
I'm talking about
the writing, like of writing and going back in. It's like,
yeah, you have to accept that other people think that's your peak moment. I don't necessarily think that.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, no, I know. And if you thought that, you'd never write another song after Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger. Why would you bother, right? But to me, I've written better songs than Don't Look Back in Anger, I think. Mm. I think there's a track on this album called Dead to the World is superior to both of them. But then ask me in 10 years' time.
Is that the one that says about the heavy wears?
No, that's Easy Now. It's the real orchestral one. It's got no drums on it. Called Dead to the World, yeah. It's my favourite song on the album. But I've worked out what songwriting is. You know, you're just it's a constant transient thing, and you're picking up influences and then just dropping little bombs along the road of life, and then that's it. And then some people get it and some people don't. They don't make the songs any less or more. You know, it's kind of, if it's turning you on, then that has to be enough. Any people that write songs for streams or clicks or to sell records, they're not in it for the right reasons. If one person comes up to you 12 years after you wrote a song that no one's interested in and says, "My, that song, that's it, that'll do."
It
meant a lot to someone. It doesn't have to mean everything to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just... But everybody...
But you're still so ambitious, and I think that's really... You're prolific. Like, you put out work all the time.
I don't have any other interests. I don't drive. I don't collect.
You don't play golf.
I can't swim. I don't collect anything. I'm not an avid art collector. I'm not passionate about, you know.
You've got your kids.
No, but that goes without saying.
Yeah.
You know, there's like rock stars usually get other interests, and that's why they take their foot off the gas.
You're not going to have a vineyard,
No, I'm not. I'm just not. I'm obsessed with writing
music.
Yeah, and the more I do it, the more I want to do it. And that's why in lockdown I wrote three albums, I have 34 songs, completed 34 songs, which is going to last me now. I have to stop writing now because I've got to record them all now. It's the thing that gives me, apart from my kids, which goes without saying, it's the thing that gives me the greatest sense of worth and your place in life. Do you know what I mean? This is what I do, and I love it, and I never take it for granted, and I do a bit every day. I'm not the kind of person that sits down and says, right, from May until then I shall write a new album and it shall be about this. I chip away every day and just finish one song off and then have a look at another.
Where
one
did you learn guitar?
Well,
you're completely self-taught.
Yeah, I've never had a musical lesson. My
Can you read music now?
No, I don't know anyone that can. I don't know anyone
Jessie.
That can. Can you?
No. I can't. I also, that's the thing that I'm trying to do for my kids. I'm not trying to... Actually, I'm interested what you... I don't want to ram lessons down my kids' throat, but I want them to feel like...
Well, I'll tell you what I've...
They should have an instrument, because I wished I'd had an instrument. It makes me feel very inadequate in the studio.
Well, I'll tell you what I did for all of them, and one out of the three got it. So I just left instruments around the house.
Yeah.
So I just left little toy keyboards in the bedrooms... And little guitars, and two of them are not into it. But the youngest lad kind of was like me. How I got it, because I just like, right, how I got into it was this. My dad was a country and western DJ in the Irish social clubs around Manchester.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know whether he won this guitar at a game of cards. I don't know what happened, but this guitar appeared in our house and he couldn't play it. And when I used to get grounded for you know, not going to school and all that kind of thing, glue
took
things. And I took this guitar upstairs into my bedroom and I started to play Joy Division bass lines. That's how I... And then some local kid's older hippie brother kind of came round and said, oh, my brother can tune that for and tuned it up. And it just, I just was just into it.
You still got that guitar?
No, I've still got a couple of early ones. But so when, you know, growing, oh, you should teach the kids. And I was like, well, I was never taught, but how I think if you force kids an instrument upon them, kids like to rebel against their parents, like, I'm not doing that. Whereas I'm still into it now, and I think it's because I went to it.
Working with family, though, I mean, you've had the experience, of course, with Oasis. I work with Mum in a different way. It's a bit less rock and roll, apart from when we've done our sold-out show in Bridgewater Hall. But, yeah, do you still appreciate that, the romance of having, you know, a sibling and a family involved in that journey up?
Well, it's your greatest strength and your greatest weakness. The greatest strength, because when two family members sing together, it's like an instrument that you can't buy, so you immediately becomes recognisable on the radio, and you've got great rapport and connection with it, and it made Oasis what it was. By the same rule, it was its Achilles heel that eventually broke the band up, because you can push each other's buttons and you tend to revel in it.
Did it upset your mum when you had the big fallout?
No, my mum, everyone says this to me about my mum, and it's like, you know, journalists, you know, getting the band back together, you know, they make your mum happy. It's like, I'm 50 fucking five. Do you think I'd give a shit about what my mum's got to say about anything now? It's just like, she couldn't even control me when I was 14. Like, I've got three kids and a fucking cat. You know what I mean?
What's your cat called?
Boots doesn't live with me anymore, sadly, but he was such a handsome boy.
Do you think you'd get another cat or a dog?
I like other people's dogs. Oh, my mates have got dogs and they're great. But they're just like children. I'd rather have another baby than a dog.
Do you think you might have another baby?
Absolutely not.
Are you sure?
No, absolutely not.
But you
not.
Might meet someone who's younger, who wants a baby.
I don't like younger people.
Don't you? Oh,
Lenny's available.
I'm free.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but she's not into stripping, so it's not going to work, I'm afraid.
Who knows?
Do you want another cup of tea to go with your cake?
No, I'm okay. I'll have a spoon, though, if you've got
a
spoon.
Yes, of course, I've got a spoon. Thank you very much. I have to say, I'm the shittest at making cakes.
This looks great.
But this
great.
Looks...
Oh, no. It's pretty good.
In the words of Rick Astley...
Do you want some cream done?
It's not cream, it's Greek yogurt.
And what's the other one?
Creme fraiche that may be off. Hold on. No, it looks all right. Do you want a bit of creme fraiche or is it
no,
all
thanks.
Right?
No, I've got to go sing now for 2 hours.
Jess?
Yeah, I think we rehearsed at the same spot.
FOMO.
SW19.
Oh no, that place in Wimbledon.
Yeah.
No, we're used to. We're in North London.
There was like a beautiful moment that you were rehearsing, and Don't Look Back in Anger was just. I think you were just playing, and we were just in the other room, and it just sounded stunning.
Oh wow! Oh, it was when I was doing it acoustically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
No, it's a pleasure.
Would you have to perform that when you're at a concert?
The way I look at putting together set lists is this: I always think right. The person that I'm playing for is the person that's coming to see me for the first time. So they're going to want... If I'm going to see one of my favourite artists, Bob Dylan or whatever, for the first time, I would think, right, I'd like him to play this, and this. And if he did play that, that would be amazing, but I'm not too interested in that. Mm. So that's the way I look at it. It's like...
Given the hits.
It's like there's a deal that you have to have with your audience. When you've been going for so long and I've written so many songs, it's like, I'll get to what you want to hear in a bit.
But let me
do my thing for me first.
Yeah.
And so if I don't play Half the World Away and Don't Look Back in Anger, I'd be in the crowd going, well, why didn't he play those songs? Mm. So those two are pretty much a given.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be some more obscure Oasis stuff for people who've seen me a few times who were just like, right, well, I don't need to hear that again. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then there'll be the new stuff is for me, and then there's the bit in the middle where you just kind of keep it a bit loose.
I need to know if your children are stealing your clothes. Yeah.
Ah.
The relics.
Ah, not... Well, the...
Would you let them?
See, what I do every few months is I'll just give them all to charity every... Maybe 6 months
so
a year.
So some of that Umbro, Kappa, some of that is in a local charity shop in Buckinghamshire.
The doctor Bernardo's in Marylebone unwittingly had quite a lot of Oasis clothes and just yeah, I didn't have to make a big deal of it. It's just like go and plonk these on the doorstep.
All of it.
Yeah. There wouldn't be a day goes by when I see a photograph and go, oh, why did I give that away?
Really?
Why did I give that away? There's some fucking idiot. But you know,
also really happy person.
Yeah, no, but if you make a big deal of it, people will just buy it and put it on eBay, do you know what I mean? So yeah. So every kind of 6 months a year, your wardrobe would be bursting. You'd be like, right, it's got to go. And
is there anything you have kept for sentimental reasons?
No, I'm not sentimental. No, I know I get rid of it. I do have these moments of madness every 12 months, 6 months, where I go, right, done. I'll go down to my lockup looking for something and go, this is junk, fucking get rid of it. Incinerate it all. And everyone would be like, whoa, hang on a minute. This is fucking what? This is kind of the stage set from such and such thing. But I don't hold on to the past.
Do you
I don't
not have one treasured possession, like someone gave you or something that you've got on the wall?
Maybe
or...
it's that ring. I don't
this,
know.
Yeah, wouldn't yeah? I'd be, and this bracelet I bought.
That's
on my
gorgeous.
Travels, if I lost these two, I would be extremely unhappy because you wear them every day and they become part of you. A treasured
what
possession.
What's written on there? Nothing.
Nothing, no.
Just heavy. Yeah. And gold.
If I guitars. Yes, I hold on to guitars because I've written songs on them and my kids should have them or they should go into some place where people can either look at them, I don't know. But those kind of things, I would hold on. Yeah, I don't sell guitars I've written big songs on.
It's all, because it's all about the music for you and that's the romance for you. Yeah.
Treasured possessions. I lost a pillow once on fucking tour and I was devastated. I bring my own pillow on tour. Do you bring a pillow on tour?
Yes.
I do. I can't.
I hate tour buses so much. Bad on them.
And I lost a pillow once on tour. It came out. Suitcase arrived back from America and there was a pillow missing and a leather jacket. And I was like, the leather jacket, I can understand. Who's fucking stealing pillows at Heathrow Airport, you callous fuckers?
I know, I agree.
I know, there'd be some fucking.
What kind of pillow was it? It was just
my pillow, do you know what I mean? I can sleep in any trashy, horrible beds. But as long as I've got my pillow...
So they're not going to be doing an exhibition like David Bowie's exhibition of your clothes?
I did, I went to... I didn't even go to the Oasis one. I went to the Bowie one and the Pink Floyd one. And the Bowie one was great. It was fascinating seeing the lawyer's letter where he changed his name officially from David Jones to David Bowie.
Some of those clothes could have been at V&A. No.
He wants to look at a lot of cagoules.
Cagoules?
I mean, you've got David Bowie, the Japanese designers, and this, that, and the other, and like, oh, yeah, look at this Parker. Look at this Kangol hat. It's fucking mega. Oh, do you know what I really loved? I really loved the Adidas trainer section. That was amazing.
Are you pals with your brother, our kid?
No, we don't.
Still.
Oh, for God's sake, Mum really did.
He definitely makes overtures towards you constantly.
Yeah, well, then he should stop slagging me off on the internet, then, shouldn't he?
Do you follow him on Twitter?
No. But whenever I've heard him speak, he's always saying, we're getting back together.
That's because I'm insane.
Sure... Oh, right. Okay, fine. All right. But you talk, when you refer to our kid, it sounds quite affectionate.
Yeah, but as you know, that's the way we speak up north. But yeah, I've got really fond memories of the Oasis thing and all that. And it would have to take an extraordinary chain of events for it to happen again. But I'm really happy with what I'm doing. I love it. And I love going at my own pace. The thing when you're in a... When you're in a band, it's a compromise with all the other people. So everybody's got to have their own little bit and feel worth... Because I was the sole songwriter.
Yeah.
It was difficult for the other four guys. You know, this band was Lord's big thing. And they didn't really have any creative input into it because I was so prolific at writing the songs. So when you're in a band situation... You have to compromise. And with what I'm doing now, I can do it. If I want to take 5 years off at the end of this tour, I'll do it. Whereas
it's like marriage, really, isn't it?
Yeah. In a band thing, it's a sea of moving parts that you've all got to keep the plate spinning. And that exhausted me in the end, which is why in the end it was just like, it's time for me to quit. There was just too many plates spinning and you're trying to put one fire out and then there's another one going off. I think when you're in your 20s and 30s, it's amazing because you've got the energy to do it. Whereas when you get... older, you're just like, I've got my kids now and all that. Yeah, fuck it, I can't be honest.
Do you find the idea of, maybe because they're a bit older, but how old are your youngest?
13.
Do you find it when you're thinking, and this is a kind of selfish question, but do you think about the tours and think, I can't be away for that long? Or do you feel like they're so used to...
Well, so I got back off my last tour in 2019 and I'd been away more or less. I've been on the road since 2015. And when I... No, well, not all the time. I've been back in a month off and that one. But when I remember... I remember going away and I had two baby sons. And when I got back in 2019, the eldest opened the door and he had a tash and he called me bruv.
Oh, stop it.
And I was like, yes, mate. And he went, yes, bruv. And I was like, bruv? You fucking bruv? You fucking dad? He referred to me as dad. He was like, yo, bruv. Said, yo, pops is back. I was like, who's this guy with the tash? And then
COVID happened.
And then it's like, right, I was always going to take till this time off. And of course, pandemic happened and COVID and things got a bit tricky.
Where did you spend lockdown?
Well, we just don't know whether I thought at the time, it's luckily it's maybe not the greatest life decision we'd made. Just before the pandemic, we decided we were going to move out of London, and we were in Hampshire. And of course, it was a twofold thing out there where you didn't feel like you're in a pandemic because in the middle of the country, you never see anyone from day to day anyway. But then you're kind of, you know, you're there and that's it. And you can't dip into London for a couple of nights and you can't see your mates. And
you're locked in.
Yeah. So it was a tricky time for everybody. But I was out there. It was just horrible. The only good thing that came out was which I wrote a lot of music. Which,
how good were you at homeschooling?
Dreadful.
Did you?
Dreadful. I remember my lad was like, Dad, where's the Philippines? He shouted as he's in his underpants, right, at the one end of the table. And I was like, Google it. Right? Google it. And when we looked at his Google search, kind of say, like, he'd Googled in, where the fuck are the Philippines? He was about 11 at the time. And I was like, this kid is a fucking, he's a prodigy. Where the fuck are the Philippines?
Before you go off to do rehearsals for the tour,
do you want another piece of cake?
No, thanks. I'm
Would
fine.
You like one for later for that afternoon? No, kind of pick me up.
No, I'm fine. I'll have an apple in the afternoon.
You're quite healthy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not. Like I say, I don't eat a great deal. I kind of have a big breakfast and whatever I want done during the day. I usually skip lunch and crack on doing what I'm doing. But a Pink Lady apple. It's my thing.
I love them. Do you know they're really good for you? They lower your blood pressure.
Do they really? Yeah. This is why I'm so chilled, as you can
this
see.
This is why you're so relaxed.
So I'm laid back,
yeah. Can I ask you one taste that can transport you back to somewhere, good or bad?
So in Ireland, they have a thing called soda bread.
Yes.
So if I was to have soda bread with loads of butter on, like my mum used to give us in between coming home from school and having tea, as we call it, off, not dinner, that would remind me of growing up. So soda bread and a real builder's cup of tea, that would be my thing, yeah.
Oh, Noel, thank you so much for coming over.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks. And good luck with the album. It's beautiful.
See us. I'm playing.
Where are you playing in London?
I'm doing open airs in the summer, playing at Crystal Palace.
Oh, nice.
Oh, around the corner.
Yeah, and then I'm doing the arenas in the winter where I'm playing at Wembley Arena. So, anyone?
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks
for coming.
No worries.
You're very handsome.
Oh, here we go.
I just wanted to tell you, I'm not going to slip off, but you are very handsome and you've got gorgeous blue eyes.
Come on, Alice.
Telling you now, I'll give you my number in a bit when your daughter's coming.
You won't be living on your own anymore,
We'll get you backstage.
Oh, God! Okay, get out of my fucking house. Oh, Noel Gallagher, rock and roll star.
He was so rock and roll, Jess.
I think I felt like you gave him a good run for his money.
Did I?
Yeah. Did you enjoy him?
I thought he was fabulous. I really enjoyed listening to him. I had not realised what a complete artist he is, really, and his devotion to music and songwriting.
I think it's really rare to be able to have, like, an artist that is... like the romance.
Authentic.
Yeah. He's proper. absolutely love having Noel on. Thank you so much. What and brilliant anecdotes.
Just fab. Loved him.
Oh, my son's come through the door. You just missed a rock and roll star, son. I'm just going to get, I'm going to scatter the guitars and the pianos around, and then
so that he'll
so I get a don't look back and then go in the house.
He was just fab.
Loved it. Thank you, Noel. Good luck
with the
record.
Think he really meant that we could go to his show?
Yes, Mum.
I'm going.
Good luck with the record. Good luck with touring. You can catch him throughout the summer. If you're listening in America, he's on tour with Garbage very soon. But I think I'll be at the Withinshaw Park one. Or Crystal Palace. That's nearer to me. Anyway, check it out. Council Skies is out on the 2nd of June. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.